Well, hey guys, good morning and welcome to Kairos. I'm so glad that you're here joining us today for worship in the Word. As you can see, I'm not actually at Kairos, but I just wanted to say, man, I'm so glad that you are here, whether you are joining us in person or online. Now, if you were here last week, you know that I also wasn't at church. I came in direct contact with someone who had COVID, tested positive for COVID. And so because of that, we decided that we were going to quarantine for 14 days. Good news, me and my family got tested. We tested negative, so that's awesome. And we're excited, so excited to be back with you guys next Sunday. Also good news, Movement will be back this Wednesday as well. So I'm not on site. For those of you who are here, I'm sorry. I miss you guys so much. My family misses you. We miss being at church with you. We miss all of those who also join us online and can't be with us for one reason or another. We will be back together next week, though. So that's going to be awesome. So here I am. I'm at a different location. You're probably wondering, where is Pastor Brent? Well, I am currently standing in the Echo Ministry location in Auburndale. They call them Echo locations. And you may be wondering, well, why is he there? Today is Orphan Sunday, you know, across, you know, I believe that, you know, the United States, maybe even across the world, but I know at least across the United States, this is the day where churches come together to celebrate and bring about awareness of foster care, adoptive care, and helping the orphan. And so I decided, hey, I'm not going to be there, so let's do something a little bit different. Let me go on site at one of our ministry partners, Echo, and kind of give you guys kind of a rundown of what's going on in this place. So this is their Auburndale location. As you can see behind me, there are racks of clothes hung up on the wall. It's a really, really cool place. I can't control the camera right now, but I would take you around. But basically what this ministry does is they provide tangible needs for kids who come into care, whether it's foster care, adoptive care, non-relative relative care placements. And so they come in here, you know, during the month, once a month, or when they come into care, and they can come in here and go shopping. They can look for clothes, they can pick out clothes, and they can have an amazing experience. And it's really, really fun. This is only one side. On the other side of the building, there is an area for older kids, for teens, preteens, stuff like that. And it's just a really, really cool ministry that's taking place in Auburndale, in Lakeland, and they've been a ministry that we've partnered with. They've helped bless our family in so many ways. And so I wanted to come on location and figure, you know what? I will just go ahead and preach my entire message from the Echo location as I talk about what's going on. Now, one of the things you need to know about Kairos Church is that one of our values is that we will love the fatherless, that we will provide help, hope, and care for kids who come into care, and also we will be advocates for those who are caring for them. So we want to love the fatherless. And if you have been a part of our church for any amount of time, you know that there are many, many foster families, adoptive families that are currently in our church. And so we help support them. We come alongside them. We provide meals for them. And Echo does the same thing. So it's a big part of who we are as a church. It's a big part of our ministry partnerships. And so I wanted to kind of share about Echo a little bit. I also wanted to talk about another one of our ministry partners, One More Child, Florida Baptist Children's Home over in Lakeland. So let me just share with you really quickly about Echo. I told you a little bit already. I'm in the Auburndale location. They provide for kids who come into need. This location actually was one that they had, you know, many years ago. A storm came through and put a hole in the ceiling, and they had to move away from it. But just this last year, and a little bit in 2019, they were renovating the space, coming together, getting the flooring, getting the paint. Many people, many churches, many volunteers came together so that this place could be here in Auburndale and be providing for families in need. And just yesterday, actually, they dedicated this space and they prayed over this space. And they've already done so many things. I asked Jennifer Stirk to send me over some just some numbers, some statistics about, you know, some what they've been doing so far. And here's what she sent to me. She said they're it's donation based. So they get donations from families, from other people, from churches, and they sort through it and they get it out here and they put it out and it's beautiful. But they've had this is the best way they could kind of get this information. They've had 46,000 pounds of donations of clothes, of toys, of shoes, of hats. 46, that's just this year at this location. How awesome is that? At this location, they were able to serve 312 children. Now listen, this is what's so cool about this. Now they did have to shut down because of COVID, but as soon as they kicked back up, man, 312 children have already been served in one location. How amazing is that? And then at this location, they have about 15 volunteers who serve. That may also include the distribution center as well. So it's a really cool ministry. It's one that has blessed my family. If you don't know, I'm a foster parent. I'm an adoptive parent. And we've been able to go in and get items when we get placements. And so it's a huge blessing. And we're so thankful for the Auburndale location. 312 children served just at this one location. And there are many other families in the area, in other areas, in Lakeland and Haines City and Lake Wales and maybe Sebring and Avon Park and beyond. And they're doing some other stuff as well. But one of the things, one of the main reasons why I wanted to share about Echo, and we talk about Echo a lot, is because they got something coming up next year that I'm really, really excited about. They are going to be opening a Winter Haven location. Now that's exciting, right? Because that's us. That's in our backyard. And here's the real cool part about it. You ready for this? The Winter Haven location will actually be held right at Kairos. How cool is that? Man, so this is exciting. Now, guys, you know, God's been so good to us, and he has, during the midst of a pandemic, brought us into our own space. If you're joining us for the first time, for the second time, man, before, at the beginning of the year, in March, we were meeting in an elementary school. This all took place. We're in this building, and we're renovating. We're getting things up, and everything's going good, and we got our cafe. We got the sanctuary. We got the kids' rooms. All those things are rocking and rolling. But what most people don't know about our building is that there is a second floor in the back of our building. There is a large space just sitting there. Right now it's storage. And I've been chatting with Jen, and she actually came by about a month ago to get some stuff that we had left over from our kids ministry that we no longer needed, that we wanted to give to families or give to the ministry. And as we were going through some of that stuff in the upstairs room, I kind of just said to her, I said, hey, Jen, look at this space. Do you think this could be an Echo location? And she said, yes. And so, man, we're really excited about opening up an Echo location right here at our church in our community to help meet the needs of children in care. How cool is that, man? Let's celebrate that. So, man, be praying about that. And so here's the thing. Before I move on to one more child and the rest of my message, here's what I want to encourage you with. There's kind of three things that I want to do. Number one, the space is in need of some renovation. It's in need of some love. The floors need to be changed out. Painting needs to be done. The AC needs some work. And so there is gonna be days where we're coming together to volunteer to make that happen, to, you know, do the floors, to get, you know, they have awesome stuff. I mean, I wish I could show you the teen room, but we gotta get some of the stuff into the space and make it an Echo location. And so I'm gonna ask you, and to be a part of that when it comes up, when we start building out and getting a part of this and going to it and getting it ready at the beginning of the year, man, make sure that you join us. And we'll be telling you about that. And with that in mind, so we're going to do the build out. And so I'm going to ask you, like, with your Connect card, you can grab it in the back of the seat in front of you. If you're online, go to the Connect card online. But as you fill out your Connect card, I just simply want you to write the words Echo on that card. If you want to help with building out the Echo location, man, putting your hands to work and being the body of the hands and feet of Jesus to help provide for kids in need in that way. So put Echo. Now, once we get the location up and running, we're going to need volunteers. We're going to need ministry directors that'll help kind of make sure that all the donations and supplies, that, you know, all the clothes are out, making sure that you're keeping track of everything. And then we're going to need volunteers to serve the families when they come in. If you are interested in either being the director of the Winter Haven location or volunteering on a regular basis, monthly basis at the Winter Haven location, do the same thing for me. Write Echo, maybe write volunteer, maybe write director on there. And let us know that you are very, very interested in being a part of this ministry. Now, here's the thing about this. You know, we say that not everyone is called to be a foster parent. Not everyone's called to adoption. But as a Jesus follower, we are all called to get involved with it, to do our part. And so maybe this is what God is calling you to. You say, no, I can't do the foster parent. I'm not called to that. It's not for me. And I don't feel that. I'm not called to be an adoptive parent. But, man, I'd love to meet the needs of those families and of those kiddos. If that's you, just simply write the word Echo on your Connect card. Now, here's the last thing before I move on, and that is this. You know, with us stepping into opening up a new location, guess what? It costs money. Echo Ministry is a complete nonprofit. Everything they do is donation based. And Jennifer and her husband Justin, they work basically full time for this ministry, but they don't get paid for this. And so it's all donation based. And so what I want to challenge you to, I'm going to challenge it to you right now, and I'm going to challenge it to you at the end, is that as a church that we could take up kind of this love offering in order to go towards Echo, whether it's just Echo what they're doing right now, or even the build out that we're going to have here in our church. So if you want to right now, you can go online, go to kairos.church/give. And if you're wanting to give towards this, towards Echo, towards the Echo location, Winter Haven, that is in Kairos Church, you can go online and do that. If you're in person with us, you can grab one of the tithe envelopes in the spot where it says offering, just simply write Echo and how much you want to give, and you can drop that off. I'll remind you guys at the end, but something to be thinking about and be praying about. Now, the other side of all of this, of the ministry partners, I told you about One More Child, is becoming a foster or adoptive parent. So one of the things that we're wanting to do also with the building, because we have a building now, is we're going to begin holding info nights, foster parent, adoptive parent info nights, and also we're in the communication about possibly having classes, foster and adoptive parent classes, right here at our church. Here's what I want to say to you. Maybe you have some questions about being a foster parent or an adoptive parent, and you weren't really sure who to ask or who to go to. Well, guess what? Man, we have so much information and knowledge in that in our church, but we also have stocked our VIP area, the front counter area, with some information about fostering, about adoptive care through One More Child. So if you have questions about it, you can stop by there, grab some of the information there. Or if you want more information about becoming a foster parent or an adoptive parent, just simply write OMC or One More Child on your Connect card. And we'd love to connect with you on that. Now, let me kind of segue into what I want to talk about today. I know I've taken up quite a bit of time sharing about those ministries, but it's exciting, right? Like, I mean, man, we're about to be a church that has an Echo ministry running out of it. We're holding foster and adoptive classes. It's so important. It's so exciting. And really what it is it's so significant, right? It's having a significant impact on our community, but it's also having a significant kingdom impact, right? Because we bring these kids in, we bring these families in, and we love on them and we show them about Jesus. And that's what I want to talk about today. About significance, seasons of significance, taking steps of significance. You know, Echo, this ministry, they took this step, they stepped out in the unknown and have this beautiful ministry that they started. One More Child is doing things that are significant. They help, man, single mothers and single parents. They help with foreign missions. They help feed families. They have this compassion center where you can go, and they're doing things that are significant. Foster and adoptive parents, man, you guys are playing a significant role in the lives of these kids, whether it's little ones, mid-sized ones, or even, you know, teenagers. And it's so important that we take these steps towards significance. Now, I want to pray, and then I want to get into a little bit of Joseph's story. You know, through this series, we've been talking about Joseph and the things that he's gone through, and how he's kind of handled the seasons that God has put him in, and what has come because of it. And this is the same thing, man. He took steps of significance to get to where God was leading him. Let me pray, and then we'll dive into this. God, thank you for bringing us together today, and we get to worship together, to grow together, to celebrate together, and man, to really just serve together as a church and as a community. God, I'm excited about, man, what's to come in 2021, man, the things that you're doing, the things that you orchestrated through this year, even though it was difficult, God. So we are looking forward to take steps of significance in our life. Speak to us, allow your spirit to speak through your word today. It's in Jesus' name that I pray, amen. Joseph's steps of significance. Now, like I said last week, and I've been saying, I'm not going to share Joseph's story every single week. If you don't know the story of Joseph, head over to Genesis chapter 37 all the way through 50. It's an awesome story, just rich with so much life application. But today we're going to talk about just how he stepped into significance and continued to take steps of significance in every season that he was in. But what I want to start with is at the beginning. And I did this last week as well, is just kind of where it all began. And I think what I want to get to today is to talk about how, man, significance happens through obedience. Now, you go back to the very beginning and how all this started, and Joseph was his father's favorite, and he got a robe of many colors, and, you know, his father would send him out to bring back reports of what his brothers were doing. And in this, Joseph was obeying his father. And, you know, it's one of those things, like maybe he wanted to please his father and he didn't care too much about his brothers. But, man, I'm the youngest, of three. And I remember looking up to my brother and my sister and wanting to hang out with them. Maybe you can relate, wanting to, man, your older brother, your older sister, man, to invite you to things. And you wanted to be a part of what they were doing. And you wanted them to think that you were cool and all that stuff. And I feel like the same is probably true for Joseph. And he probably felt like an outcast and an outsider. And he wanted them to involve him in the things that they were doing. He wanted to be a part of what they were doing. But his dad kind of gave him these other roles, these other jobs, kind of set him apart from them, and it created this gap. And so, you know, in the beginning of this story, you know, Jacob sends Joseph out to find out what the brothers are doing. And it's he travels for a few days trying to get to them to figure out what they're doing. And so, I mean, part of me is like, he probably didn't want to do that, right? Come on, Dad, I don't want to go do that today. I don't want to go and snitch on my brothers. I don't want to walk all the way out there and, man, tell them what I'm doing and report back to you. They're going to know. I don't want to go. I think he wanted to be accepted, but in the end, he was still obedient to his father. And see, that's the thing, man, about obedience. Obedience to our parents, obedience even to God, that is a significant step because it showcases our ability and desire to respect someone in a position of authority. And it helps us. And as we, man, practice that obedience in our lives, it helps us take that respect that we have for someone into the workplace, into our community, respecting our boss, respecting our shift manager, respecting police officers, respecting those who serve us in the drive-thru or even as we sit down at a restaurant. Obedience is significant because it teaches us to respect others. And it's this kind of this revealing that we want to continue to learn and grow from those who have gone before us. And so he obeys his father. And where that leads him, right? He gets in trouble and then he's a slave. And you know how the story goes. His master Potiphar, he obeys him and he does this work for him. And he, man, does a great job for him. And he doesn't do it begrudgingly. He doesn't do it, man, with a ill temper. He doesn't do it angrily. No, he does it joyfully. He does it with the best that he has. And that's one of the things he knows. He's not working for men, but he's working for the Lord. I want to share with you Philippians 2, 12 through 14. It says, so then, my dear friends, just as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now even more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now, we talked about these things, the obeying, and there's this reverence, and there's respect out of fear and trembling. Ready? This is so important. It is God who is working in you. It is God who is enabling you to both desire and to work out his good purpose. And here's the key point of it all, ready? Philippians 2, 14. Do everything without grumbling and arguing. And so, you know, it's obeying his father and it's obeying his master. And when we strive to please God over trying to please the world, we lead lives of significance. Because what it's saying is that no matter what, no matter how hard, no matter how difficult, no matter how mistreated, no matter how unfair, the things that we are doing, we know we're doing them for the Lord. We're not doing this to please anyone else, but to please him. And we're obeying the things that he calls us to. So he obeys his father. He obeys his master. He obeys as he even gets put into prison and the prison warden. He becomes successful down there. He was obedient to all these things. And that obedience, guess what it led to? Significance. There's something about obedience that leads us to lives of significance. It leads us to significance in our relationships. Guys, I want to read to you Colossians 3, 18 through 25. And it kind of just wraps up all that I'm talking about. And it's more than just obedience. There's a trust. There's a reverence. There's a fear. There's a submission. And as we do those things and we do those things for the Lord, we will see significance in our lives. Now, I'm going to read Colossians 3, 18 through 25. And this is the Amplified version. If you want to go there, if you want to pull that up on your phone or online, Colossians 3:18 through 25. Here's what it says. I'm going to read this. It's long, but it kind of captures and encapsulates all of us, so it can help us understand what's going on. Wives, be subject to your husbands out of respect for their position as protector and their accountability to God, as is proper and fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives with affectionate, sympathetic, selfless love that always seeks the best for them, and do not be embittered or resentful toward them because of the responsibilities of marriage. Children, obey your parents as God's representatives in all things, for this attitude of respect and obedience is well-pleasing to the Lord and will bring you God's promised blessings. He talks to the wives, he talks to the husbands, he talks to the children. He says, man, when you have respect and obedience, it's going to bring God's blessing. It's going to lead to a life of significance. Then it goes, fathers, do not provoke or irritate or exacerbate your children with demands that are trivial or unreasonable or humiliating or abusive, nor by favoritism or indifference. Treat them tenderly with loving kindness so that they will not lose heart, become discouraged or unmotivated with their spirits broken. Servants, in everything, ready? Obey those who are your masters on earth, not only with external service as those who merely please people, but with sincerity of heart because of your fear of the Lord. Whatever you do, whatever your task may be, work from the soul that is put in the very best effort as something done for the Lord and not for men. Whatever you do, work from the soul as for the Lord and not for men, knowing with all certainty that it is from the Lord, not from men, that you will receive the inheritance, which is your greatest reward. It is the Lord Christ whom you actually serve. Man, what a powerful, I know it's a lot, but did you feel it there? There's this submission, and there's this love, and there's this obedience, and there's this respect, and there's this service taking place, and it's all done for who? For the Lord. It's for him. You see, obedience, respect, reverence, submission, guess what that leads to? It leads to reward. It leads to inheritance. It leads to significance in the eyes of our heavenly Father. Listen, that is who we live for. That is why we do what we do. He is who we are obedient to. Each act of obedience that you and I take is a step of significance, and that is going to lead to the plan of salvation in our lives and the lives of those we come into contact with. Obedience leads to significance. Obedience leads to salvation. You see, in every season, we are given the opportunity to do something significant in our lives. Yes, even in seasons of difficulty. You see, because significance begins with obedience to do what God is calling to do, no matter what we're currently going through. One significant step can lead you to what God has next for you. We see that in Joseph's life. And you know, he was going through times of darkness and thrown in a pit, and sold as a slave, and put in prison, but he was obedient. And he remembered the whole time that all this is taking place, but he's going to stay focused on God and pleasing God. And as he did that, he was raised up to significance. And you know, I already talked about Echo and One More Child and foster and adoptive parents, and they're doing that. And they're stepping out and they're doing these significant things, even though it's hard. Even though things are already difficult in their life, they're doing these things, and you can do that too. And what I need you to understand is I'm not saying in order for you to live a significant life, you have to foster, you have to be an adoptive parent. That's not true at all. Listen, Jennifer Sterk, the director of Echo Ministries, right? The founder of Echo Ministries, she's not a foster parent. She's not an adoptive parent. But look at how many foster and adoptive children she has been able to significantly impact and love on. Guys, we're each called to do something, to step into the unknown, to get uncomfortable even during difficult times so that we can have a significant impact for God. You know, each of our significant steps may be different. The course on which God has plotted for us may be different. But if the things that we're doing are for God, they will also bless others. And so I want to remind you too of this, is that There is this everyday significance that you and I can step into, right? You know, the significance of working hard and joyfully to provide for your family, the significance of taking time to pray for, to pray with your children, to pray forward, to pray with your wife, to pray together as a family, the significance of every day being a source of a comfort to a friend who's going through something, of providing for the needs of others, of telling someone that you're thinking of them or praying for them. You think about the suicide rate in our lives. What significant impact could you reaching out and saying, hey, I'm thinking about you today, have on someone's life? It's doing your work with joy every day. It's speaking kindness, whether online or in person. It's serving others. It's being generous. We have an opportunity, no matter what's going on around us or to us, to do this, to live these significant things out in our lives. And I think it's been hard to do this year, hasn't it? This year, we've all been kind of stuck in the season of, well, I think because of what's going on, I need to step back, or I need to take a break, or maybe after COVID, I'll step into that, or I don't want to risk it, or I'm afraid of what might happen. Things are already too difficult. And I think that's been the case for many people, where there are so many things already going on, so many things already taking place, that we've used how the enemy has been attacking it to distract us and to keep us from stepping into that significant thing that God was calling us to. I want to share a story with you. Sorry, I had to step off there. I wanted to share a story with you from one of our moment makers. This is a family that kind of moved out here with us, joined us, and helped us launch this entire thing, Kairos. And so they came out with here 4 years ago, and they were a part of our youth ministry at our last church. But they've had a difficult year. And I reached out. This is Brinkley and Cody Roberts, and I knew some of the things that were going on for them and with them. And I just said, "Hey, can I share your story?" And she wrote me this letter, and I couldn't share all of it, but I wanted to share some of it. And so let me just read this letter to you. It says, "Ever since meeting the Warnsings and seeing all the precious children come through their home, I've wanted to foster. As a single 21-year-old, the Lord began preparing my heart to foster children. I took the first step by attending an orientation, and it was scary, so I pulled back. But it was always in the back of my mind, the difference I could make, having so much love to give to these children. I met my husband later that year, and while we established our little family, we began having so many excuses why we couldn't start fostering. Beginning of the year, my husband lost his career of 12 years, and with the strike of COVID, he was unable to find employment. And like most, we had 3 months of laying in the bed all day, binge-watching Netflix. Meanwhile, the foster care system became flooded with children. And I began thinking to myself, what change was I making by being in bed, by doing nothing? How was I glorifying God by doing nothing when the opportunity to foster was wide open? We were home all the time. We had an extra bedroom collecting dust. We had all the time in the world, but somehow we kept finding excuses on why we wouldn't step into this and how we couldn't do it right now. I claimed to be pro-life and anti-trafficking martyr that was doing absolutely nothing to help those situations. Christine Warnsing, that's my wife, shared a post about a sibling group needing a family, and all of a sudden, my excuses for not fostering turned into reasons we needed to foster. I started making phone calls and renovating the house for an extra bedroom for these kids. In our phone calls, we realized it wasn't that easy, and we would need to start fostering first. We began the process by signing up for virtual classes, but then our life came to a screeching halt. Our dog, our family dog, was diagnosed with lymphoma. His body stopped functioning, and we had to put him down two weeks later. And I began to think maybe I wasn't qualified to make such huge decisions, and I began making more excuses on why now was not the best time to foster. Our hearts were not ready to take on more love just to give it away again like we had to do with our dog. And this, I love this, ready? But we realized that this isn't about us. It's never been about us. This was about bringing God glory in awful situations, which is why we decided to just keep going. God continued to bless us financially during a jobless time. He carried us through our pain and suffering, and we need to do that for the children in our foster system. And here's the best part, ready? We will be welcoming a 7-year-old boy into our home any day now. We met him on Zoom a couple days ago, and in that call, these decisions all started to make sense. You know, it's so awesome to see the excitement about doing this and stepping into this. And there are fears and there are concerns and there are worries, but man, being obedient to this, saying yes to this in the midst of everything else that's going on, man, God's gonna do something great. God's gonna do something amazing. And here's the truth, guys. Having a significant impact happens not when we have all the answers or know how it'll turn out, or even that we are fully equipped or ready to step into it. No, significant things happen when we are obedient, when we're willing to say yes, even when we aren't prepared, even when we aren't certain where it will lead us or take us, or the difficulties that come along the way. Listen, the enemy, he is the king of trying to keep us idle in our faith. He's the king of giving us excuses of why we won't be obedient and say yes to what God has calling you to. And you can bet that he has used COVID as a reason to keep you idle, to keep you from stepping out, to keep you from stepping into that significance that God is calling you to. Listen, one of the things about all of this is that living your life with integrity and conviction with that same mindset of Jesus is significant, especially in times like this. When you think about what Jesus gave up, you think about the difficulties that he went through, you think about all that he sacrificed for us. And as we hold on to our hope in him, as we continue to live above reproach, right, we can have a significant impact on others around us. Listen to me. Like I said, this isn't just about being a foster or adoptive parent. It's about stepping into that thing that God is calling you to. And I want you to know right now, the most significant thing you can do is be a conduit that leads other people to Jesus. Yes, that takes place in Echo. Yes, that takes place with one more child. Yes, that takes place with foster and adoptive, but it can take place right where you're at. Are you being a conduit of Jesus? Are you living a life of significance, or are you fearful? Are you afraid? Are you full of excuses? I wonder, what have you been putting off that God has been telling you to step into today? I wonder. Man, if you're obedient, yes, to God, can have a significant impact on the life of others.
AAA.
So what is it? You know, just like in Brinkley's story, you know, all through this year, there are many reasons. Lost a job, lost a family member, a dog, and, you know, money was tight and things were going on, and there's all these reasons why to say no. But if we're willing, if we're obedient to say yes, God can work and move mighty ways. We don't know what God has in store for the 7-year-old that's coming into Brinkley and Cody's life. We don't know what God has in store for the children and the families that are going to come through Echo Winter Haven at Kairos Church. But we are believing for greatness. We are believing for significant things. And it starts by each and every one of us saying yes. Let me pray for you. God, today I thank you. I thank you for these ministries. I thank you for all the people involved that one day said yes, they stepped out, they were obedient. Maybe it was many different steps of obedience that led to the significance, and it's impacted thousands. My family, other families, children in care, relative caregivers, and people have come to know Jesus through these things, and that's what it's all about. And doing the things that you call us to so that you can be given glory. God, I pray today that your spirit has stirred and moved within each and everyone that has heard this message. And I pray that you would help them put the excuses away and say yes and be obedient to whatever you are calling them to. It's in Jesus' name that I pray, amen. Now, here's what I wanna say, two quick things. Just a reminder about the Connect card. Chris is gonna talk about it in a minute as well. On the Connect card, if you wanted to help out with Echo, you can just write Echo, whether it's the build out or volunteering. And then also don't forget, man, if you want to give towards this ministry, you can go online, you can do the text to give option and just make sure that you, or even in-house, just check off, hey, I wanna give towards this ministry to help them out. Hey, thank you guys so much for joining us today. And I can't wait to be back with you again next weekend.